1 Peter chapter 5, as we begin, we will find our way eventually to Proverbs, don't worry, but we want to begin in the New Testament in 1 Peter chapter 5. If anyone knows about humility, of course it would be Peter. He walked in pride many times and the Lord brought him low, but in the end, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? He knew what it was to be humbled before the Lord and then to be restored to grace. And so as he speaks about humility, think about this, because humility will undergird our topic of discussion tonight and our study together. In 1 Peter 5, verse number 6, the scripture records, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Verse 7, read it out loud with me. "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." I want to talk to you about care tonight, about responsibility, and we're going to look at the idea of responsibility by considering what it's not. The opposite of that is irresponsibility. And so as I studied and searched and combed over the book of Proverbs, it really set in with me, we need to be responsible people before the Lord, and it will help us as we live our Christian lives. So let me be a blessing to you tonight. Let's pray. Lord, as we come to you, we do cast our cares upon you. We thank you, Lord, that you're not some pie in the sky God that just created everything, spun it off, and then didn't have any involvement in your creation. Lord, thank you that you are intricately involved, so much so that you invite us to yourself. You're such a mighty God. Lord, it could be very daunting to think about coming before your throne and actually conversing with you, the King of Heaven. What would we have to say to thee? Lord, I pray that you'll give us humility tonight and to be able to see your loving invitation, your gracious openness, to allow us as sinners, through the blood of Jesus Christ, to come before you and to find grace because you care for us. Lord, you're concerned about our needs here tonight. Help us, Lord, to strengthen ourselves in Christ, for we can do all things through him which strengtheneth us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. When I defined what irresponsibility meant, I went to the Oxford English Dictionary, the unabridged version. I went to Webster's 1828, of course. I went to the Random House Dictionary. Here's what I dug up. Here's what I found. To be irresponsible simply means to be not responsible. Okay, not answerable for conduct or actions. Not answerable. Not liable to be called to account. Responsible. So, who bears responsibility? Well, depends on the life circumstance we're talking about. Also, this could be legal responsibility. It could be just, some form of incapability. Also, by extension, the Oxford said that it was acting or done without a sense of responsibility. I think now we're getting closer to where we live. Acting or conducting yourself without a sense of responsibility. Webster put it this way, not able to answer for consequences. Random House put it this way, said, done, or characterized by a lack of a sense of responsibility. Not capable of or qualified for responsibility. Not responsible, answerable, or accountable to a higher authority. Those are all pretty good definitions, I think. How does somebody become irresponsible? Well, I personally believe it's directly related to a lack of seriousness and sobriety when it comes to this idea of accountability. When we realize we are accountable, then we become responsible more so. I've noticed it. I won't throw my family under the bus. I'll take the heat for this one. There were times growing up when I was a kid that I knew I was told to do something, but it was not going to be held accountable. And I took it as a suggestion whether I wanted to do it or not, and typically it wound up that I didn't do it. But boy, when I knew there was going to be accountability or there would be consequences if I did not follow through, you better believe I was responsible to do what was put upon me because I was going to answer for that. We live in a world, as I mentioned this morning, not to steal thunder from this morning's message, but we pointed out in the book of Revelation chapter 14, we live in a world that has shunned accountability. Nobody wants to think about being accountable to God, not in the general census anyway. There are people who have some conviction. I'm not lumping everybody together in that. There are some people who believe and know and do what's right, and they have good character and integrity, and thank God for those people, because they really stand out in our day, don't they? Yeah, society thinks they're weird. We're not weird, just because we want to do what's right by others and by God. How do we become irresponsible? Well, it has to do with accountability. Simply put, many people just don't really care. Did you hear that word? They don't really what? Casting all your what upon Him? For He careth for you. Consider what it is to be careless then. I see a relation between irresponsibility and carelessness. If we take this further and dig into the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, which, by the way, if you have this book on your shelf and you're going to refer to the ISBE, please go to the older versions, because the newer versions, the revised versions, they've done a lot to bring in textual criticisms and those things. And so if you get back to the earlier 1900 versions, you'll be truer to sound doctrine in a lot of areas. But here, this is the older version of the ISBE from 1915. And James Orr would have been on the editing team of that, by the way. Careless. They put it as, the words always mean without anxiety. Okay, think about that. Without anxiety. The confidence springing from a sense of security. He trusted, or ye careless daughters. People dwelt carelessly. That means that they're living in a sense of security. So to be careless isn't always a bad thing, is it? We're to be careful for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and supplications. It means we're not to be worried about anything. We're not to be anxious. We're not to live our lives in anxiety. We need to have a sense of security. But when we get so careless with sin that we feel like we can do whatever we want and God's not going to hold us accountable, or He'll sweep it under the rug, or just brush it aside, you know, like the careless Ethiopians of Ezekiel 30, verse number 9, dwelling carelessly. So I see a relation there. Let's look at Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. Let me just share some verses here, and I won't read them all, but just to get in the scriptures together, Proverbs chapter 1, I want you to see a characteristic here in verse number 20, and I'm going to read towards the end of the chapter. Now, we could read the whole chapter, but I want to begin at verse number 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Verse 24, because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Someone who is careless and apathetic towards God and His Word is going to be deaf to wisdom's invitations. They are headed on a crash course for calamity eventually. Even if they don't experience it here in this life, and they have a chance to live it up, it's only a vapor. And then they're going to come crashing down when it all comes to the end. If we look at chapter 13, I won't read all these verses, but chapter 13, verse 17, the last half of it, you know, this kind of attitude breeds a noxious disease upon humanity. It is like a cancer. and I believe it can be caught. You get around somebody who just doesn't care long enough, and you give into that mentality, it won't be long before you stop caring. And it can rub off on others, and it just breeds this noxious disease upon humanity. They don't care about others. Really, a carefree person in this regard, carefree when it comes to sin, not living with a sense of accountability, they don't care about others. They only care about right now in the moment, and we see those kind of slogans all over the place, right? It's permeated the philosophies of our day. Wrongfully denying any responsibility for failure to hold back evil. It wasn't me. It wasn't my fault. You know, and whatever. They're not willing to step up and say, I could have done something differently. At least acknowledge some kind of accountability there. No hope for lasting eternal rewards. Not fit for positions of leadership. Let's go to the last chapter in Proverbs, Proverbs 31. And let's look at what's given there in verse 1. These are the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother told him. What, my son? And what, the son of my womb? And what, the son of my vows? That's a triplet there in the poetry, by the way. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine to those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. This is a mother pleading with her son, who happens to be in a position of leadership, and she's saying, you are responsible. And she gives him a lot of good advice, doesn't she? Boy, this is good stuff. Don't go to the bottle. Don't pervert your judgment when you have these pressing matters to deal with. These things are serious. We want somebody over us who's going to have sobriety, who's going to be sober. So someone who is careless and doesn't live their life in regard to accountability. And we don't even have to bring accountability to God into this, do we? Someone who is in a position of leadership and does not understand the role that accountability plays in that position is doomed for heartache, and the people that follow them are doomed for heartache. As the pastor of this church, I am accountable to God, I'm accountable to the Lord Jesus Christ, but I am also accountable to you, the people of the church and the church family. And as the staff here, volunteer staff, however they serve, they're accountable to me, who's accountable to you. There's accountability. And we have policies and procedures in place because we believe in accountability. If you're going to be in a position of influence and leadership, we expect you to be accountable. And there's nothing wrong with that, is there? Oh, but we're a bunch of rule-bearing down people, you know. No, we have a sense of integrity. And we want to protect the flock of God. And this all goes hand in hand. So there are plenty of results and consequences set forth in Proverbs. If we can't rely on someone in a position of leadership, that person's going to stand before God for falling short to the hurt of themselves and to others. Irresponsibility brings damage to God's character of dependability. You think about God. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. And when someone who claims to be a Christian or a follower of God winds up being unfaithful, they just do a great disservice to the quality and the character of God that speaks of dependability. Proverbs says it this way in Proverbs 25:19. There have been times in my life where I've wondered that this shouldn't be my life verse, you know. Confidence in an unfaithful man is in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. That's some vivid poetry, isn't it? How many of you, now don't raise your hands, but how many of you have tried to rely on somebody that you found out afterward they were not reliable for what you were counting on? That hurts, doesn't it? It's like an ache. Well, Solomon was familiar with it. The insensitivity of the irresponsible. They are so insensitive sometimes when it comes to opening their eyes and looking around, taking initiative, and bearing the responsibility that was placed upon them. Vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, I get it. Not everyone is qualified to lead. There are certain scriptural qualifications for those that are in spiritual leadership. But regardless, we all have influence over somebody. Somebody is looking up to us. Whether it's spiritual leadership in a church or leadership in a home or a friendship. Hey, we need to take initiative. We need to understand there's responsibility involved. That quote from Winston Churchill this morning about responsibility, accountability. I think he nailed it. You know, there's a lack of backbone in an irresponsible person that, can I say, this kind of characteristic has all but crippled our generation. You know, there was a generation in America that was called the greatest generation, and they were called that for a reason, because they had backbone, they had tenacity, and they would not back down when it came to freedom, and especially freedom of America and American values and those things. And we praise that generation. And they set that kind of example. They weren't sinlessly perfect, okay? Don't misunderstand me. They have their faults, they have their failures, but you talk about responsibility, they knew responsibility. And we've lost that. And we have a lack, and it is hurting, and it has come upon society, it has come upon families, and ultimately the careless individual is going to have nothing to show for his neglect to the end of that one. You think about how it's going to end. It's far worse than how he began. And it's not as much about how you start. You need to start well. And we have plenty of people that can start things well. But God's more interested in, can you finish what you started? Can you stick it out? Can you have the stick-to-itiveness bearing up under responsibility? I can't tell you. I talked to ministries after ministries, pastors after pastors, churches after churches. And we're seeing it here in Colorado again. You know, an exodus of pastors. And they come in and they're there for a couple of years and then they're gone. And what happened to them, I don't even know. And it happens. There's great turnover. It doesn't just happen in the ministry. Think about your workplace. Think about your workplace. The lack of stick-to-itiveness that has been ingrained in our society. People don't want to finish what they start. Trying to count on somebody is hard sometimes. Ultimately, they're going to have nothing to show. Sadly, too many of the world's people, too many of our churches, too many of our families' leaders have been allowed irresponsibility to their own character and their own duties. They have not been held accountable. Think about that side of it. We've brushed it under the rug. We've covered it over. We've not stood up and said, wrong is wrong and right is right. And now look at the mess we're dealing with in very, very high places in this country because of a lack of accountability. And people getting away with things that would have never happened under another tenure. And boy, we need some accountability, don't we? God, give us that. Give us justice. This brings harm. It weakens the foundations. And if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So as we think about irresponsibility, let me challenge you tonight. I want you to live with the end in mind. Now, you can't know the end from the beginning. Only God knows that. I'm not asking you to have some, you know, deific quality about you of omniscience. No, you need to trust God because He can see the end from the beginning. But I want you to think about how you're going to finish this. Finish what, Pastor? Well, you're here tonight because Jesus Christ saved you. Amen? Amen. Are you saved? You're here tonight because Jesus said, if any person will follow me, let him take up his cross. Right? And you're here tonight because you said somewhere along the way, I have decided to follow Jesus, me. Jesus said, if we're going to follow him, no man that putteth his hand to the plow looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because we need to be focused on the prize. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hebrews puts it this way, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, let us with patience run the race that is set before us. What is your race? Are you looking to that? I am challenging you tonight and our church, let's be people of integrity when it comes to this matter of being responsible with the things that is in our care. Live with the end in mind. Acknowledge accountability with your Creator. Remember our study this morning, their works do follow with them into eternity. It is out of the books and the works that the world will be judged. We will give an account someday. Learn to be dependable people. Hey, if there's anything that people ought to say about the folks that come to Broomfield Baptist Church is that they're just dependable people, amen? Why? Because not there's anything special about us. We just love Jesus. And Jesus was dependable. I want to be like Jesus. Let's prove that we are dependable people by maintaining integrity. How's your integrity? How's your integrity between your spousal relationship? How's your integrity between the relationship with you and your children? How's your integrity? I didn't say they have to agree with you on everything. I just said, are you doing what's right as best as you can and holding to that and being firm but loving where it needs to happen? Maintain integrity. Fulfill your duties. Fulfill those. And if you do fail, have the humility to humble yourself before God and admit when you're wrong. None of us are perfect, sinlessly in that regard. We can be whole, but we're all going to make mistakes. Fulfill your duties, though, no matter what. You know, I can tell you testimonies of people that have been an inspiration for me. When I worked at Brinks, boy, there were some days that I didn't feel like going in. And it was hard to get out the door. And it's hard to make it to that time clock. But boy, I knew I had a 7-minute window to have room for traffic and delays and those things. And I always got there 10 minutes early to clock in. And I'd be there as early as I could to be able to hit that clock as soon as that early 7 minutes. And then here, 14 minutes later are all the people who are sliding in trying to get in line for the time clock because they're scooting in sideways into their parking spot, into the place to try to get to their shift before they're tardy. You get penalized for that by an employer, by the way. Too many of those and you can even be out of there. But I think that made a difference when our supervisors sat down and looked at their crew to see somebody who's going to be there early. That's not tooting my own horn here. That was ingrained in me because that's what you do. If you're gonna work for somebody, give them their hire, okay? They are paying you to do a task. Then give them what they're paying for at least if you can't go above and beyond. But I always looked for areas to go above and beyond because I knew this. If my employer succeeded, then I succeeded. Hey, if the cause of Christ succeeds, we succeed. We ought to give over and above. We ought to do our best to be there. I can take you to people that for years they've just been faithful, not even taking vacations and those things. Now, you need to rest, but you get the idea, don't you? And at the end of the year, whatever the policies are at the company, those vacation days roll over and they didn't take a single sick day and except for when they were dead, hey, if I'm not at work, that means I'm underground 6 feet by now. That kind of mentality. Because you just go, even when you don't feel like it. And I'll tell you, there were some hard days. It's not easy. But I was accountable. I was accountable to my employer. I was accountable to my wife. I was accountable to my family in those situations. So no matter what, to live responsibility takes perseverance. You're going to have to push through. Proverbs 10:4 says, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich." Proverbs 12:11 says, "He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding." Boy, we could read on and read on and read on, list after list. We need to live in a way that others can rely upon us, and that's going to require a deep sense of responsibility. Proverbs 1, we read those verses from 20 to 33. Wisdom cries. Are we going to heed? Are we going to heed her call? Proverbs 29:14 says, "The king that faithfully judgeth the poor, his throne shall be established forever." King Lemuel. He had responsibility, and his mother was reminding him kindly of that. You have people that need you to be responsible, because you're going to be able to make calls that are going to affect their livelihood. Others are depending on us. We need to exhibit a deep sense of responsibility, and that will betray itself, by the way. There'll be certain warning flags that someone is dependable. And typically, when someone finds somebody who's dependable, that dependable person gets overwhelmed because they're picking up the slack from everybody else eventually. And they can get overwhelmed. And then you risk things like burnout, working their fingers to the bone, burning the candle at both ends. Why? Because, well, they betrayed their dependability. And those warning signs were seen. What are those warning signs? Hey, it's going to display itself in proper stewardship. Things are going to be delegated to them, and they're going to flourish. They're going to thrive because they take this thing seriously. And what's put in their responsibility is going to be vibrant. And then they're going to get more responsibility, right? Some people have the mentality, sadly, they have the mentality that if I never do anything, then nothing will be handed to me. Get away from that person. They're not going anywhere. Losers. That's a loser mentality. It really is. But hey, some people make their life and arrange their life around how little they can do and still get by. It amazes me. So we need to be people of responsibility. Responsibility, by the way, you're going to have to persevere. It's going to betray you when you're dependable. People are going to learn to count on you, and that's not always a bad thing, is it? It's going to require watchfulness. Proverbs 4, the whole chapter. I won't read it with you here, but you're going to have to watch and keep an eye out because the devil is going to put you in his crosshairs and try to take you down every chance he gets. Proverbs 8, verse 32 says, "Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Refuse it not." Here's another beatitude. "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord." It's going to take watchfulness if you're going to enter into this relationship of accountability between you and God. Let me give you some things here to help you remember what we've talked about and to think about some other things here. And when we're talking about care, coping with care. How do we cope with care? "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Some people live their life, as we've already mentioned, being careless. They really could care less. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 15 says, "The city that dwelt carelessly, how is she become a desolation?" So many careless people in the world today. Their lives are in jeopardy. They're in jeopardy physically because they don't take care of themselves. They live carelessly. They are in jeopardy spiritually because they don't take care of themselves spiritually. Careless. Some are careless. Accidents are caused many times by carelessness. Boy, I saw some slides here recently in a presentation that you just couldn't help but laugh. And I noticed that every one of these OSHA violation scenes that I saw, they were all in foreign countries because OSHA would never permit, you know, some of the things. I'm talking about forklifts stacked on top of forklifts to try to get, you know, utility things up onto the third floor of a factory. Oh, the funniest one was an empty forklift that had evidently run off of the loading dock with a missile on the forks. At least they were smart enough to run away, okay? But here, you know, we're talking about accidents, careless. Oh, I didn't see it. Man, I was coming down 120th, and this gal, I was coming up Washington, south on Washington, and this gal turned right on Washington, didn't even look. And I wasn't doing more than 20, 25 miles an hour because the light had just changed. And so I was not going fast at all, but she just plowed right into me. And this has been some time ago, and we worked it all out. Everybody was okay. But then there was another car that got involved too. Why? Because she wasn't paying attention. Careless. It's a huge responsibility to operate a big piece of machinery like a vehicle. And our freeways, you know, especially when it's snowing and things, you have to really ramp it up. be responsible. Accidents are caused by carelessness. Financial loss is sustained. And lives are lost through careless living. This is serious. How many people today live carelessly and others pay for their carelessness? Many are careless about spiritual things. They fail to accept Christ as Savior. They deny Him when He's done so much to leave heaven and come for them. They don't accept Him. They don't make Him Lord of their life. Is He Savior? Is He Lord? Does He call the shots? Is He on the throne of your heart, as we've heard before? Christians often neglect prayer life. Hey, we get careless when it comes to prayer life. We get mechanical. We go through the motions day in and day out. And before you know it, we haven't cared for that spiritual relationship and fellowship, and we haven't nurtured that, and we pay the price, don't we? Church attendance, service to God, all of that is affected when we live carelessly. I think you know this, and I know this. If we're going to live carelessly, does that please God? I don't know what kind of God you would serve if you would say, yeah, oh yeah, God's completely pleased with me living carelessly. No. The truth of the matter is, that does not please God. And He loves us, and He gave His Son for us. He sent His Son to die for our sins. He expects us to be good stewards. He gives us plenty of illustrations. Even the Lord Jesus Himself told us stories about stewardship. Why? Because it's important and it matters to God. Diligent in love, diligent in service. Let's go to 1 Peter again. And let's look at chapter 4. In verse number 18, I'll just read one verse with you here. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Good stewards of our lives. Hey, we're in trouble, aren't we? Do you see that verse? Read it again with me. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Do you think God takes things seriously? Absolutely, He does. We need to take care. He expects us to be a good steward of our lives, diligent in love, diligent in service. Some people are careless. Others, we could say, are careful. As we mentioned earlier, that verse in Philippians, be careful for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication. Millions are weighed down with burden of sin. The load is too heavy. I remember the day when I was under that load. That was the darkest place in my life I'd ever been, thinking about the culmination of my sins, and I was going to give an answer to God for that one day. You talk about a pathway to depression and anxiety. Thinking about your sin, not having any hope to live for. You talk about hopelessness. That's where it's at. Millions are weighed down with the burden of sin. Loads too heavy for them to bear. Jesus came to take away our sins. Be careful for nothing. He came to die in our place as though He were us for us. We can be set free from the bondage of sin. Amen? From those burdens. How do we do that? Repentance and faith. Repentance toward God, faith toward Jesus Christ. That sets us free. And if the Son make you free, you shall be free indeed. We don't need those burdens upon us. We can be careless when it comes to trusting the Lord in that regard. That's a good sense of security, eternal security. Not worried about where I'm going to go when I die. That'll free you up. Many Christians are filled with care and anxiety, struggling through life, trying to carry their own burdens and the responsibilities of others. I've been to funerals and I've seen family members who, you know, they're that strong one in the family and they got to be strong for the rest of the family, but they never give themselves time to grieve. They need to go to the Scriptures and find out God gives them permission. You don't always have to be strong for everybody. God knows that this is supernatural. This is bigger than you. But they take it and they wind up being crushed under that burden because, well, somebody's got to be strong here. No, the one who is strong is the Lord. And He'll carry us through. And when we need to rely on Him, we need to do that. But Christians can be filled with care and anxiety, carrying burdens, having to be that one, and they do it in their own strength, and they find out that it's frustrating to do that. Look kindly on that He can bear for them. He offers His grace. He offers His help. He offers His hope. And when we turn Him away and say, no, I'm going to do it my own way, whether we realize we're doing it or not, we're hurting Him. That doesn't please God. No, God loves to be able to come in and deliver his people. He delights in showing himself strong on behalf of those who are weak. Let's let him be our God. Let's rely on his everlasting arm. When we're weak, he's strong. Let's give God glory and say, I don't know how I would have made it through, but God helped me. God did it. He pulled me up. He set my feet upon a rock. He established my going. Glory to God, not glory to me. Glory to him. Some are careless, some are careful, and some are carefree. Galatians 5:1 says to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. If we're living in bondage, that doesn't please God. He wants us to be free. If we'll commit to God, he'll liberate us from the bondage of self and sin. He sets us free. What does this in turn do? When God strengthens us, we then have the opportunity to help those who are weak, to be an extension of Christ. He carries us through. He lifts us out of the miry clay so that we can comfort others with the comfort wherewith we were comforted of God. And he uses us as his vessels. And we can go and help others in so many ways, be an extension of Jesus, simply trusting. And I'll close with this. You know, it's high time in our day to understand the need for responsibility and to have some backbone to be counted on. Until more Christians are willing to be more responsible, not only to God, but also to their families, to their communities, to their government, we're not going to see any of the blessings that attend the diligent. They're not going to be there. Even to, as the scriptures teach, to the third and fourth generation, we're riding on the coattails today of what was done three and four generations ago, even now. What are we going to leave for the fourth generation from us? Are they going to have anything left of value when it comes to America? I hope and pray they will, because we'll see some folks rise up and get some backbone and stand. And having done all, stand in an evil day. And so let me close here with a humorous note, silly little story, but it really illustrates in a profound way the reality of how many people sadly view this idea of responsibility. Simply entitled, "Whose Job Is It?" Listen, this story is about four people named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that, because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. Let's pray. Lord, may we be people that follow, resolved in the footsteps of our Savior, to take up our cross, to bear the burdens that you've called us to bear, knowing that we can cast all our care upon you, for you care for us. Oh Lord, I pray for a church filled with responsible people. I pray, Lord, for a community filled with citizens who will take responsibility to be accountable in ways that we need accountability. Lord, there's many things we need to pray about, even for Broomfield. We need your help, Lord. We need your intervention. We need your grace. I pray for our state that you would continue to raise up leaders in our communities, in our state, and our nation, that have backbone, that understand responsibility. Lord, we've seen much happen, even in this past year. And I think a lot of that can be attributed to somebody who was willing to take responsibility and not wait for just anybody to do it, but to say, that somebody is going to be me. I will stand up. I will speak out. I will stand for the Lord. I will hold forth his word. I will not let another pass by without being concerned for their soul. I will put my name upon them and speak the words of hope and life that can set them free. I will open my eyes. I will look around me. I will take that stand. Lord, I pray that in the quiet of this moment you would have your way, that I'm not sure exactly where each person is tonight when it comes to responsibility. Maybe there's some young people in this room that need to be more responsible when it comes to their education. Maybe there's some employees here tonight that have taken advantage of their employer in ways that they need to make that right. They need to be accountable. Maybe there's a husband or a wife who has not been accountable to their life partner the way they should. Maybe there's a friend here who has neglected accountability with another friend. Lord, I don't know what the circumstance may be, but others are counting on us. May we have the strength of Christ, because in Him we can do all things. I pray you'll bless now as the piano plays and as we quiet our hearts before you. Have your way, Lord, and may we humbly come before you, humble ourselves under your mighty hand, that you may exalt us in due time. And may we, like Isaiah, after we're cleansed of sin, say, here am I, send me. Lord, I will be responsible. I will be accountable for the gospel, for the good news. I will be accountable for my family. I will be accountable. Lord, here am I, send me.